Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Oh, it's nice to hear a good morning. Oh, thanks, Bethany. just before we get started, I just would want to just share a couple of things. The first one is, as I was preparing this morning, I was preparing well before this morning, but just going through just the final run through my notes this morning in the car as we were driving up, and Kathy was driving, so don't I wasn't driving. I just made a flippant comment about taking 3 hours today for my sermon. I was just telling the kids, to the children, I'm going to be 3 hours to do my message today. And Zachary just went, oh, because he knew about the beach trip today. And fortunately, Kathy had set up a cut lunch. So I said, that's okay. Mum's got a cut lunch for you. You know, you won't go hungry. So I just made sure that they were aware that they won't starve. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Okay. We've been talking a bit about the floods this morning already, but one thing that really impressed upon me as I was watching some of the footage of the floods and just the absolute power of the water and how it just picks things up and just moves it. And it just really, at that time, I was just sort of, at a moment, I was thinking about Noah's time, back in Noah's Ark, and how, you know, 40 days and 40 nights of just intense, torrential downpour for that amount of time. And if you can just imagine that even after a few days, the immense power of the water that flowed through parts of Queensland there, but then draw your mind to the enormous power of the flood in Noah's time, after 40 days of that intense torrential rain, and how when you look at things like the Grand Canyon and the other waterways, that there's this immense amount of erosion, and how, you know, people are caught up in the belief that it takes millions of years for that erosion to take place. But when you think about a flood, such as, you know, you look at what happened in Queensland and multiply that several times and to the power of what happened at Noah's time, you can see the evidence of how just quickly gorges and canyons and things can be formed just through the power of water. So great evidence there of how quickly things like that can form, and it doesn't necessarily take hundreds of thousands or millions of years for those sorts of things to happen, and they can happen very quickly. Also, too, just as I was just this morning, as Elder Gary gave a few words about a time for change, and also to Kayleen and Pastor Pat as well, as she prayed too. I just felt during the time when I was preparing, just the Lord just sort of impressed upon my heart that each of us. When it comes to a new year, that we often think about, I'm going to be getting a change. Okay, that's okay. Turn it off, okay. Testing? Okay, all right, I'm going to do this one-handed. When we come to a new year, we're often, our mindset often comes to a time of change. How can we change to be better, and you know, none of us are strangers to the thought of the concept of a New Year's resolution. It's something that is often talked about in the world, and it's really a time where we're sort of drawn to perhaps reflect upon ourselves more so, unfortunately, than perhaps on others, to how we can change to be better people, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but quite often. In the world, we think about New Year's resolutions are often a selfish thing. You know, how can I make more money, or how can I do things that are, I guess, give me more pleasure, perhaps. But really, we can use this thought not so much for a selfish thing, but also too, how can we improve or build our character so that God's purposes can be served. And some of the things I've sort of thought about, this is certainly not an exhaustive list, but, you know, some of the things that we often think about, you know, those of us perhaps who are smokers, you know, perhaps
You know, how can I perhaps stop smoking? You know, and quite often you'll find people try to give up cigarettes at the start of the year, perhaps only to bring them, take them back up after a few weeks or a few months. But also two other things perhaps we try and do is maybe how can we spend more time with our children? But importantly too, how can we work towards improving our character? And, you know, there are a lot of things that we can be committed to change for the better, for God's purposes. And those are three things that are things that are good things to work towards. And, you know, these things in particular, but other things as well that are God-centric, that are outward-focused, are noble things and are worthy of attention. You know, and combined with prayer, determination and commitment, and of course, importantly too, drawing from the strength of the Holy Spirit, you know, we can. It is possible to achieve whatever it is that we put our minds towards and put our prayer focus towards, and ask the Lord for. And so, you know, my real encouragement for each of us, you know, this morning, just starting off, is, you know, if there's something that you feel you can change to draw yourself closer to God, perhaps to remove a crutch that is perhaps holding you back, you know, really make a commitment and be determined to overcome those things and seek God for guidance and for strength to overcome those things. We sang a song this morning, the second last song, talked about how in our weakness God be lifted up and he gives us the strength. And so it's a real encouraging song just to drill back into us that, yeah, in our flesh we are weak, but through God, you know, we are made strong through his power, through his strength. And if we're determined and committed towards whatever it is, and if it draws us closer to God and draws us closer to our purpose and fulfilling our purpose for him, you know, those things, the fulfillment of those things are certainly possible. But also to just remember, through that, when you reach that finish line, when you reach that point where you've overcome those things, just don't forget to give the glory back to God who gives us strength. Give the glory back to him. And if we have a look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, and I've got the scriptures up on the overhead as well. It says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. You know, we can take joy, and if we have in the endurance and the passion, because and the patience and the will to overcome those things, you know, he will empower us. He has great might. He has an unempty, that's a word. He has a complete fullness of supply of power and strength that he is so willing to invest in us to overcome those things that hinder us from having a life and having a life to the fullest. You know, things like crutches such as smoking and other things tend to hinder us, tend to draw us back from living life to the fullest. And God wants us to lay aside those things, so that we can live life to the full. So be committed to restoring and building, to building those things in our lives that draw us closer to him. But really this morning, what I really want to focus towards is restoring relationships. You know, if there's any one thing that I believe is a real noble and worthy thing to sort of focus and be committed towards to build during the course of the year, it's restoring relationships and building established relationships and just growing relationships. I mean, after all, that's what God is all about, isn't it? He's all about relationships and our relationship with him and with one another. And of course, an important part of especially restoring relationships is accepting forgiveness. One of the most important things we can possibly make a commitment to is to restore relationships with those around us and strengthen relationships already established. But also, and most importantly, if we are going to be effective in all things, we need to be personally restored and emotionally healed. Now, quite often, some of the things that draw us back, that pull us back, is how we see ourselves. is how we've got things in our lives that are undealt with. And bringing through the acceptance of forgiveness, sometimes we need to accept forgiving ourselves for the things that we've done and allow those things to be cast away and to not dwell on those things that we've already been forgiven for, that God himself has forgiven us for. Now, should we have a low opinion of ourselves or in effect have a negative relationship within ourselves, it needs to be restored to how God wants us to see ourselves. And that is evident through Christ's willingness to go to the cross, which wouldn't have happened should God not be passionate about us and our complete well-being or healing. Now, the whole work, the whole plan of salvation is all about restoring ourselves or having us restored back to how God wants us to be, so that we can see ourselves as God sees us through acceptance of Jesus Christ. You know, of course, those of us who are no strangers to biblical teaching understand that through the work of Christ, we are a new creation, we are a new creature. That when God looks at us, he doesn't look at the sins of the past. Of course, he looks at Christ in us. And so we need to start thinking of ourselves in the same way. We need to start seeing Christ in us and not dwell on the things that make us imperfect. At the center of restoring relationships is repentance, restitution, and forgiveness. Why else would the Father's great plan of salvation be so effective if it wasn't a means for anyone to receive forgiveness for their sins by accepting the great gift of the Son, Jesus? So firstly, of course, we need to restore our relationship with God, with him through Christ. And I know that many of us here this morning have already done that, that we have accepted him and accepted his forgiveness for our lives and have begun to build and establish that relationship with God. And that is the first step. We need to do that before we can really have any opportunity or have any way of knowing how to restore relationships with others and to begin to heal and also to accept ourselves for who God made us. If we look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You know, God is all about infusing us with the desire for relationship and for pure relationship. For relationship with him, firstly, to build that and to strengthen that, but also, too, that as a catalyst for us to build strong relationships with one another and with those around us, with the world around us. For followers of Christ, the understanding of forgiveness should be well understood. We all understand, those of us who have accepted Christ in our hearts, the true meaning of forgiveness. For each of us have been forgiven for the things that we've done in the past that have grieved God. In fact, to be saved, forgiveness is fundamental both to accepting God's offer of relationship and restoring the relationship not just with God but also with one another. But can we forgive ourselves? Can we find it within ourselves to no longer condemn ourselves for our own imperfections? You know, imperfections, each of us have them. And I'm not just talking about blemishes of the skin or, you know, blemishes in physical blemishes necessarily. I'm thinking about imperfections in ourselves that, you know, in the flesh, the parts of the flesh that tend to occasionally come out and tend to undermine us from time to time. And of course, God has given us the means to overcome those things through his Holy Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit to just come out and infuse our character of the things of Christ. But sometimes too, when we don't necessarily put on the full armor of God as Paul speaks about. Sometimes we may forget, and sometimes we go out, and occasionally the flesh might take over from time to time, and those things come through. And of course, when that happens, we need to seek repentance. And, you know, the Lord is always there to forgive us. But also, too, when As the Lord forgives us, we need to forgive ourselves for those things as well, not to hold on to those things, to not no longer be guilt, feel guilty, have that sense of guilt that quite often lingers, not dwell on those things. But as God forgives us too, we need to accept that forgiveness and forgive ourselves. Now, when we hold on to things, even though God has forgiven us, really what we're saying to God, we don't accept your forgiveness. I'm still holding on to those things. So we need to let those things go. Very important. So in reality, accepting God's forgiveness also equates to forgiving ourselves and accepting who God made us to be. So let's have a look at, some things, or one thing in particular, although there are a few, but there's one thing in particular I'm going to focus on that perhaps holds us back from accepting forgiveness. Not just accepting forgiveness from ourselves or forgiving ourselves, but also to accept things that hold us back from accepting forgiveness from others too. And perhaps if we're not careful, from accepting forgiveness from God. The pitfall of pride. And pride essentially is having an excessively high opinion of oneself. And really, it also equates to not accepting who God has made us to be. Having an excessively high opinion of yourself is accompanied by the belief that those around us are not worthy of accepting of forgiveness for indiscretions or things that they've done wrong, that they may have done towards us. And you know, if someone comes to us, if a brother or sister, or even someone in the workplace, or someone we know, generally comes to us seeking our forgiveness, it's imperative that we open ourselves up to that and accept it, and let them know that yes, I forgive you for that, and not to hold on to the hurt that has occurred, but to let go of those things and accept the forgiveness that others are seeking from you or from us. And holding that back is again just another symptom of perhaps a prideful heart, that no, I want to hold on to that hurt. What you did was wrong, and I want to hold on to it. And we need to just be careful that we don't fall into that pitfall and really give people the forgiveness that they're seeking, and letting go of those things that are hurting. And also too, just to sidetrack a little bit as well, quite often we equate forgiveness with also trust. I mean, there are things too that people may have done to us that have been really hurtful and perhaps have caused us great pain, and have caused us perhaps not just to not forgive them, but also too to no longer trust them. And some trust is one of those things that needs to be built. And quite often we equate that because we forgive someone, we also need to start trusting them again. And that is not necessarily necessary to begin with. Certainly forgive, let go of the hurt, but you need to be open to allow that trust to be built. Just because you forgive somebody of something terrible that perhaps they've done to you doesn't mean you need to necessarily open up and trust them again just so that you can be hurt again. But still, it's our responsibility to open ourselves to trust them again over time, and allow them in, because we don't want to shut anybody out, because perhaps God is doing a work in somebody to bring them to seek your forgiveness. And it's important that we don't necessarily hold back in opening ourselves to trusting them again. It may take time, but it's important that we do open ourselves to trusting. Unforgiveness can quite often lead down the path of seeking revenge, because each of us has a sense of justice. You know, it's something that God is a God of justice, isn't he? But sometimes too, the enemy can distort that sense of justice and turn it into revenge into our hearts and trying to cause us to sin. And in our own mind, we play on that, or we allow the enemy to play on that and say, look, you need to seek justice for the thing that person has done. But in actual fact, it could very well be revenge is what the enemy's trying to plant in your heart. So we need to be careful about that, that we don't seek revenge or harbouring resentment in our heart, which also becomes a hindrance to what God has planned for us to do. You know, God has a plan for each one of us. But if we harbour things that hinder us, you know, I spoke about the few things before, but also too, things such as unforgiveness or hurt that's still in our hearts, God can't use us 100% if we've got things that are holding us back like that. God has a perfect work, a wonderful plan for each one of us. And we need to let go of those things that are going to hold us back so that we can fulfill those things that he has for us to do. Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 and 39. You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. So God's way, or the way of his disciples, of Christ's disciples, is to not seek revenge, but rather to just forgive. Just forgive. Now, one thing I wanted to touch on as well, too, is some of the ways that quite often we find ourselves falling trapped towards as well. And who likes action movies? I know I like action movies. Yeah, most of us here like action movies. I can see that about three people. But action movies is actually a very interesting thing when you look at the plot and the storyline of pretty much every action movie that you see. You know, movies such as, I'm going to go through a couple of old movies here, so some of you younger people probably don't remember these, but Rambo, who remembers Rambo? Yeah. Rocky, or Rocky Balboa, yeah. Star Wars, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'll just whisper this one gently, Star Trek, yeah. Oh, there's a few Trekkies in the congregation tonight, this morning. But also, too, movies that the young children watch as well, like... I was watching with my children during the week. We watched Megamind and many of other, you know, The Incredibles and things like that. All those sorts of action movies, they all have a certain storyline that is very similar between the whole lot of them. And in those storylines, you find that there's always someone being oppressed or someone who's being unfairly treated or unfairly done by. Like in Star Wars, you've got the rebels and you've got the mighty empire which is evil. And it's quite, you know, we're all led and stirred up to desiring to see, in that example, the rebels come up and defeat the mighty empire and defeat the evil empire. And really, Hollywood has gotten onto something here, really trying to get in, really, really tapping into our desire for justice, and getting us into a movie because we want to see justice done. But really, what's occurring is that revenge is occurring, that people the actors or the good guys are seeking revenge on the bad guys for perhaps something terrible that they've done to them or to their family, like in the case of Rambo is a classic example. And Star Wars as well is another example of how something terrible has happened to someone close to a good person, and they want to seek revenge for that. So we need to be careful, because Hollywood is making a lot of money out of trying to appeal to our sense of justice, or dare I say it, sense of wanting to see revenge done to the bad guy. So we've got to guard our hearts and make sure that we don't allow that to really get into our hearts and take that into reality as well, because God's way is not that way at all. God's way is forgiving and allowing God to deal with those things, and we're not to deal with them. Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and the first part of verse 23 says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness." And so this scripture covers a whole myriad of things that we can allow ourselves to see and perhaps affect our heart. But I just want to caution each of us this morning that we don't allow what Hollywood wants us to see and to allow those things to sink into our heart to the extent that it affects our character and how we understand what Christ wants for us and for those who perhaps call us their enemies. So let's have a look at, still on the subject of pride, let's have a look at the consequences of also pride against ourselves too, because pride is something that can also affect how we see ourselves in a very negative way. Pride can also hinder us from forgiving ourselves too. We can at times expect more from ourselves than what is reasonable, or simply be filled with guilt for letting others down. You know, sometimes we're going to let people down. Now, it's inevitable. We're not perfect. Sometimes we do forget to fulfill commitments that perhaps we've made, or perhaps not do things to the standards that perhaps others expect of us. And we can't allow those things to help to cause us to feel guilty about those things. I mean, if we've done something that has obviously not has let someone down, we need to seek their forgiveness for those things, and apologize for that. But also too, we mustn't harbor guilt for that as well. You know, if we do our best, well, that's all that can be expected of ourselves. Really, we can't expect more from ourselves than doing our best in things. And sometimes the expectations of others may be beyond what our best is, but that's nothing that we can do to improve that or to better that. So if we do let someone down, then we've obviously got to seek their forgiveness for that, and just demonstrate to them that, you know, there's nothing more that we could do. Or if we have let them down due to our lack of commitment, then perhaps we need to also repent from that as well. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16, 18 to 19 says, "This is what the Lord says, He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." Perhaps quite a more appropriate scripture for today than just this message. But, you know, it just illustrates again, we cannot dwell on the things of the past. Those things are gone. We've received forgiveness for those things. We need to just what we're called to do is to do our best. If we make a commitment, we stick it out. We fulfill that commitment to the best of our abilities. And if we do fall short, we just seek forgiveness and repent for those things, if those things can be helped. If we fall short because our best just cannot reach it, then what more can we do? All God wants from us is our best. He does not expect any more than that. Now, to finish up, again, I just would like to encourage each of us this morning to focus. You know, if there's one thing you want to be committed, determined to do, and that I just urge us to look at restoring our relationships, to build our relationships, to seek forgiveness for those perhaps that we've hurt perhaps last year or the year before. Just rebuild and strengthen relationships. Make new relationships. I mean, God is all about relationships. His great plan of salvation, the design of it was to restore relationship with mankind. And so if there's anything that we want to commit ourselves to this year, and that is the restoring of relationships, you know, of course, with God. Restore our relationships with Him. He's there willing, waiting. He's got His arms outstretched. The work of salvation is done. The way is made. It's paved for us to have our relationship restored with Him. So why not take it? Also too, with one another, brothers and sisters. You know, if we harbour any any ill feeling towards one another. You know, make it this year to restore those things. And of course, just as we expect others to forgive us when we seek forgiveness, be open to give forgiveness too to those who come to us seeking forgiveness, no matter how terrible a thing perhaps that they've done, how much they've hurt us. Be open, forgive, be forgive, and be open to build that trust again. Although that trust may not be there initially, be open to build that trust with them so that relationship can be built and strengthened. Because that's what God wants. God wants to have a holistic relationship with one another to fulfill everything that that He has for us. Don't let broken relationships hinder us from the things of God. But also too, as I touched on already this morning, it's important that we no longer harbour things. Forgive ourselves. You know, don't feel guilty of the things of the past. God's dealt with those things when he forgives us. There's no point for us holding on to those things. By holding on to them, we're telling God we don't accept your forgiveness. Don't make that mistake. We need to accept our imperfections, expect the limits of our abilities. Just do our best and let God do the rest. Just as we are called to forgive others, be ready to accept the forgiveness of others just as God forgives us. Okay, broken relationships, feelings of guilt and sin that is not dealt with are all going to block what God has for us. Not because He refuses to work through us, but because we are in danger of failing to see beyond our own guilt and troubles to listen and obey what He is saying. You know, once we're in the kingdom of God, He's going to speak to us. He's going to speak to our hearts. But if we've got things blocking us, we're not going to be able to listen or hear. Or we're not going to be able to accept the full empowering of the Holy Spirit to do what He wants us to do. So we've got to let go of those things. It's important. So this year, you know, we've already, Elder Gary, spoken about making commitments to change, to improve our character, to be more active in fulfilling your purposes in God. My encouragement to us this morning is if we're going to be able to fulfill those things, we need to allow God to cleanse our hearts, but also we need to forget about those things of the past, to allow Him to wash us. We need to also allow Him to wash us by allowing that forgiveness to flow right through us and not harbour things that don't belong in our hearts. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank You for all that You've done for us, Lord God. We thank You for new beginnings, Lord. You are a God of new beginnings, Lord God. And Lord, although this is a new year, Lord God, we just thank You that this morning the theme that is permeating through is to challenge us, Lord, and to make commitments to change, Lord, to change not for our own benefit, Lord God, but to change for the benefit of You, Father, so that we can draw closer to You, that our character can be more like Christ, Lord, that we can reach out and touch others who need a touch from You, that You can use us, and that will be cleansed vessels, Father, for others to be blessed through us, Lord. We just thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your heart towards us in Jesus' precious name. Amen.